0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Chris Burke thinks Rangers could fetch at least £25 million for Calvin Bassey. Celtic continue to close in on deals for their two key loanees, and Sean Maloney looks set for an immediate return to management. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Mark Wilson.
Yeah, well, the season may be over, Andrew, but there's still lots happening. You mentioned a few of the points there, and usually we're starting to talk about transfers. Who are going to be incoming to clubs? Who will be outgoing? But there are It's a big game round the corner next week. Scotland face Ukraine. We've got that build up to chat about. Hugely excited about it. It could be World Cup bound for us come November. So lots to talk about tonight.
And as always, we are taking your call. So anything you want to talk about, 0141 951 1025 is the number you need. Or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSP. But we always want to hear from you on the phones. So 0141 951 1025. You can put your point to Mark Wilson, who is refreshed, back from holiday, ready to go.
Not really, mate. Honestly, I would usually say I'm delighted to be here, but 24 hours ago I was on a beach.
Don't worry,
in Cyprus.
I won't take it personally.
No, nothing to do with you. I'm delighted to see you, but it's just such a change. 24 hours on, I'm in here in the studio. I was lying on a beach, pina colada.
I tell you what, normally when you come back from holiday, I'm expecting the glowing red lights that we have around this studio for your face to be that colour. It's not actually as bad as I thought it would be.
You know why?
Why? Oh, is that the factor 50?
I've got the factor 50 sent in, and I use it every single day. So, you know, whoever sent it in, thank you very much, because it's done a great job. I've got a nice golden brown colour about me.
So if you didn't hear that at the time, there was a listener that kindly knew that Mark Wilson was going to somewhere where he should not be going, yeah. Cyprus, somewhere that it was going to be extremely hot. Yeah. He thought Mark needs to take care of his skin. Factor 50 was sent to you.
And, it's amazing.
I tell you what, it's done the job.
It's done the job. I'm looking great.
Were you wearing sunglasses for quite a lot of the holiday? Because I can there's sort of white section round for the.
You're
looking a bit like Callum McGregor actually with a
mask.
Well,
I wasn't spraying P20 in my eyeballs, so yeah, I had sunglasses on, but had a great time, and yeah, it was amazing actually when I flew out there, because I made a joke about it that I was leaving on the day that Rangers were playing in the final in Seville, and I seen the fans at the airport and I seen the atmosphere, a lot of people heading out there on that day.
Did you find your Rangers pub to watch the game in?
You know what, unfortunately no, because when I touched down I literally was walking through passport control as the game kicked off, so I managed to get it on my phone, and by the time I reached my hotel it was penalty kicks, and then I was maybe just as well I wasn't in a Rangers pub that night, because it would have been a lot of heartbroken people.
There we go, nice transition back into the football. 0141 951 1025 if you want to get in touch, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. Of course, plenty of transfer stories running around at this moment in time, just as we're getting, you know, towards the start of the new season. The last season's only just ended, but lots of big games coming up. A name on lots of people's lips, Calvin Bassey, at the moment. Let's hear what former Rangers winger Chris Burke says about him, because he thinks that Rangers could sell Calvin Bassey for more than £25 million. However, he'd like to see him stay at Ibrox.
It's certainly a possibility, but I hope not for Rangers' sake. I think he's been a standout, especially the last 6 months. Can play numerous of positions, as you could see, in a back three or a back four. You know, he's a sheer powerhouse, and as time goes on, he's just getting better and better. At a young age, you know, I think he costs less than £1 million. Great recruitment from the club, and if they do sell him, it'll be a lot of money. You know, we talk about, you know, Kieran Tierney being in excess of £25 million. You know, you can't see he would be any less than that. So I hope for Rangers' sake he does stay. He's still learning. He seems as if he's a great kid, and he was fantastic, especially in the European match. So we hope that we can see Calvin Bassey in a Rangers shirt next season. But I won't be surprised if it will be a bidding war for him.
Yeah, that was Chris Burke speaking to Sky Sports. They're talking about transfer fees. They're always tough transfer fees when you're comparing to other players, because you've got what buying clubs are willing to pay, what selling clubs are willing to accept. There's, you know, how many clubs are interested. You've got contract lengths. There's so many factors that it's quite tough to compare two players when it comes to transfer fees. But the one thing Rangers fans will be hoping, that if they're not able to hold on to Calvin Bassey, that his performances of late will mean that they should be able to get a good price for him.
Well, they certainly should. If that's what Rangers want to do, and sell him on, if there are bids for him, then they will get a good price for him. Like comparisons to Kieran Tierney, you can maybe see why, you know, similar position when he plays in that left back position. But Kieran Tierney was further down the road in his development than Calvin Bassey is. Kieran Tierney had played over 100 games for Celtic, double treble, Champions League and so on, international recognition. Calvin Bassey's had a very good season, and I think he's finished the season incredibly well. A standout in that Rangers team that gets to a European final. And when you get to the final and the Scottish Cup final and you put in performances like he does, then people often sit up and take notice and say, well, if this boy can do it in the top stage, then he'll do for us. So look, the way transfer prices are going down south at the minute, I mean, anything could be put on the table really, because it's that hard to predict. But there's one thing for sure, I think there will be a few suitors for Bassey in the summer, and it'll test Rangers' resolve, what they think he's worth, what they're willing to knock back for him, and the player himself. You know, is he committed? Does he want to stay at the club that's just come off a fantastic run in the Europa League? Does he want a shot at the Champions League qualifiers? Or does he want to go down south to something a wee bit more glamorous? Who knows? That'll be down to the player and his agent.
Whatever goes on to happen, Rangers will feel like this is a good piece of business that they've done with Calvin Bassey, because he was one of these cross-border compensation deals, came from Leicester, I think it was about £230,000. We've seen these work for Celtic and Rangers. Moussa Dembele was a prime example of that. We've seen a few others as well. So I think Joe Aribo was similar when he came from Charlton. So Rangers will be happy that, you know, for the price they got him for, whatever profit will be completely maximised.
Yeah, well, it's got to be the blueprint for Rangers and Celtic, you know, because they just can't compete. They'll go to a certain level where 7 to 10 million, something like that, and that's it. But for these players, these young players, bring them to Scotland, then it has to be a gamble. And look, more often than not, it won't pay off. You won't get £25 million or figures like that for most of them. But if you can find one, you know, a Dembele in there, or if Bassey turns out that way, then you've done your job. The model can be then seen to have worked. So it's what Rangers will probably concentrate now, from now on as well. If they see Bassey, you know, succeeding at this level and keep going, then the blueprint's definitely right. But of course, we keep saying it, we've said it for with Morelos for years now, it seems, that it seems appealing, it seems attractive, but unless there's bids, you know, put in from concrete bids, then it's all just speculation.
0141 951 1025 is the number you need. Frank is a Rangers fan in the city centre. Frank, how vital is it, you think, that Rangers need to hold on to Calvin Bassey this summer?
The first piece of business that Van Bronckhorst should do is get him in the office, and if you have to double his wages or treble his wages, you do it. You do it, because the guy is going to be a top class player. I remember Tierney for Celtic. He was a great player. This boy's every bit as good. Every bit as good. And it's important that we keep, I think, two or three players are going to go. I hope it's not him.
Well, no, Frank's right. Rangers fans will want him to stay, you know, and build on what he's done. I mean, to have a player in and maybe have him for, what has he played this season, 50 games or something like that, and then to lose him so quickly, I think the Rangers fans would be disappointed in that. They want to see him grow and develop, much like Tierney. Frank mentioned Tierney there. Now, Tierney obviously came through the youth system, became a fan's favourite, not just over one season, over a couple of seasons, and he went on to really get in the Celtic fans' hearts. I think Rangers fans will want that with Bassey, and you keep him for a couple more years, and they get in the Champions League, or they get to the latter stages of qualification for that, and then the Europa League again, that price rises.
Did you have another point, Frank?
Yeah, the next one is Gilmore, Billy Gilmore, get him in a season loan, because we need it. I think Billy Davis, the boy Davis will go, and I think we could lose Aribo. So we need cover, and he's the ideal choice without spending a lot of money. And finally,
We'll take that point, Frank, and I'll let you come back in. On Billy Gilmore, I think there's always going to be those links to Rangers just because he came through the youth system. He went to Norwich, it didn't really work out for him this season. There were so many calls from Scotland fans especially that he should be playing more for Norwich. Could you see him coming back up to Scotland on a loan deal?
No, Not for me. I think Billy Gilmore has, I know it didn't work for him at Norwich, but I think he's surpassed coming back to Scotland at this early stage in his career. I think he'll have tens of clubs in England who would be willing to take him and play him, you know, more competitive games than Rangers. And I get that where Rangers have been in Europe and he'll get that opportunity, but I just don't think he would come up back up to Scotland at this moment in his career.
Yeah, I think Gilmore only has 1 year left in his Chelsea contract as well, so maybe they've got a decision to make this summer whether they extend his contract and loan him out in the hope that he'll continue to develop, or maybe think, right, if we're not going to offer him a new deal, to try and get money for him this summer.
Yeah, nah, listen, I'd be surprised if Chelsea don't extend that deal pretty quickly. You know, you see it with players all the time, and especially young players who've came through and played first team football. Clubs don't let them just walk away. You know, Chelsea will be, they're not short of a bit of cash, are they? So I think he'll be offered a new deal and then he'll be loaned out elsewhere. Or who knows? You never know. I mean, he got his chance. I know it was under Lampard and he got his chance, and the game is slightly different now at Chelsea. But he's that good a player that I think surrounded by the right players, he could play at the top level.
What was your final point, Frank?
Alan McGregor. I think he's still undecided about what he wants to do. And I would say to him, Alan, the supporters want you to stay. You're a legend at Ibrox and you'd be sorely missed. That's really it.
Yeah, well, Alan McGregor, it looked as if it was the final goodbye at Hampden when he got subbed on Saturday, but when he was interviewed after the game, he kind of said, you know what, I'll go away on holiday and who knows, I might turn up for pre-season training. So you never know. I don't want to try and get inside the mind of Alan McGregor, but he could potentially still be a Rangers player next season.
That must be great. See, when you get to that age, Andrew, usually you are clinging on and begging for a contract at clubs, but he's got the luxury and the goodwill in the bank to say, I, you know what, I don't know, it's on my terms, I'll go away and think about it and come back. I still think he can do a job at Rangers. I really do. I think he's shown this season how good he is still. But it's about him. You know, I think supporters always forget about this. The strain at his age that the game is putting on his body, the stress. I mean, getting to the final in Seville, wonderful. And it would have been a great experience. But you imagine the pressure. It's on his shoulders. And you just think, can he be bothered with that again? You know, he's achieved so much in the game. So I think the ability's still there. I think the body will still do it, but whether his mind, you know, wants to is a different matter.
Well, thank you to Frank. 01419511025. That's the number George in Knightswood has dialed. George, what's on your mind tonight?
Hi there. I was listening to the show the other night there, and they were on about the European thing. In my opinion, I don't think any Scottish club will do in the next 10 years what Rangers done.
In terms of getting to the final.
And getting to a final, but the money is involved in Spain, Italy, Germany, all these places. I don't think any Scottish club will get to a final in the next 10 years.
Well, look, we said that 10 years ago, probably, and Rangers were in a worse place then. And I was the exact same, even getting into this season. I thought our club, Celtic and Rangers, have always got potential to do something a wee bit special in terms of. Even if they get to the groups, out the group stages in the Champions League, I still think that's special. I think Europa League, if they got to the quarter final, it'd be special. I still think they've got the ability to do that. To get to the final needs a whole host of things to fall into place. You know, and I'm not taking anything away from Rangers here, but I'm just taking their run. You know, when they played Dortmund and Haaland's missing, and you know, they go through other situations, other players are injured, to score goals at the right time, VAR decisions going their way, rightly going their way, and you need everything to come together, and it happened for Rangers, and it was great.
You need the injury free and all the rest of it.
But Rangers weren't the injury free, you know, Rangers actually had their own problems as well, but who knows is what I'm saying. When we've seen Rangers do it, I mean, everybody would have looked at this Rangers team this season and said, no chance. You go back to Celtic and Seville, you can see maybe why people would have thought when they've got Larson and Sutton, guys like that, you know, real superstars. But when you've seen this Rangers team do it, so unexpected, that how can you rule out Celtic or Rangers not repeating that in the next 10?
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show how rare it is for one of our Scottish clubs. It was bizarre for me anyway, in a working capacity, being at European games in April and May, because in my lifetime, it's happened three times that Scottish clubs have made it to a European final, and that just shows how big an achievement it was for Rangers to get that far.
Well, incredible. You're usually wrapped up at away games, you know, and then it comes to April, May, and you're in the scorching heat everywhere you're going. No, just phenomenal. I mean, when I played with Celtic, we got at the group stages Champions League, you know, anything after Christmas was seen as a huge success. And now we're seeing Rangers go into the latter stages, well, the final, but the latter stages over the last few years. It's now becoming realistic to get March and April football. So with the additions that Celtic are certainly probably going to make just now, and how they're looking under Ange Postecoglou, and if Rangers can keep the majority of their squad and maybe build on it, then who knows? You know, we've seen them beat some big teams.
Did you have another point, George?
It was just about the Calvin Bassey thing. Should he stay or should he go? Is he what and what he's worth?
Yep, on you go.
Right, I think Rangers should keep him regardless of what is offered. I think the guy is priceless.
I mean, Mark, there's always a point in Scottish football where there's a certain figure that you can't say no to, but when you look at the Rangers squad going into next season, Conor Goldson's not signed up yet. He has been Rangers' main centre-back for the last 4 years. He's basically played every game. If you're losing him, you're going to need some stability at centre-back, and Calvin Bassey could be the one to offer that at his age.
Well, he will be. You know, he's still a young boy just now, but he's got the experience. He's shown he can come up against top opposition. Incredibly fit lad. But George mentioned there the price. The price is a big thing, because any club in Scotland, if somebody comes in with something that's too good to turn down, then I'm afraid it's sometimes taken out of the player's hands, and it's upstairs that make the decision that you're going, and that's the end of it. So it's going to be a tough one, but like, it's all speculative just now until somebody makes a bid. But there's no doubt about it, he's finished the season in incredible form, and he deserved his Man of the Match award in the Scottish Cup final, and he was immense in the Europa League final. So clubs sit up and take notice of that.
Well, thank you to George. 01419511025. Give us a call now and you could be up next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson here with me, Andrew McLean, in the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025 if you want to get in touch, or you can give us a call, or you can send us a tweet, sorry, at Clyde SSB. I was just scrolling through Twitter there, came across something really bizarre. On the official English Premier League's Twitter, they're handing out awards for the season, and one of them was for the most powerful goal. The most powerful goal award. That's rubbish.
Emotionally powerful, or
sure, powerful. The one that just made you well up slightly. Or no, it's, I've watched a video of it. It's Fernandinho from outside the box. The keeper gets his hand to it. It doesn't look overly. I have no idea what the.
So what they measure that on? Shot speed.
I don't even want to look into it. That's how much it's enraged me is even a thing. Most powerful. It's just handing out awards for anything.
Threatened. I wish you did that in my day. I might have won a few.
Would you have, for most powerful goal, what sort of rogue award would you have won?
Most baggy strip. See all the photos I look back in my Dundee United days.
The least aerodynamic footballer in Scotland.
Bit of drag when I was running, yeah, and that big parachute I had.
01419511025 on the phones. John is a Celtic fan up next in the East End. John, what's on your mind tonight?
Hi, Andrew. Hi, Mark. One of the things, there was a guy on, I actually tried to get through a couple of nights ago, but we were obviously too busy. They were talking about likes of Rangers bringing through quite a few guys from the youth, boys like McKinnon and the boy Lowry and stuff. And I was just wondering, because Celtic really, the last couple of years, haven't really done that. Like in previous years, we've brought through guys like the young boy Dembele and stuff. This year, the only boy that I can think of off the top of my head was the boy Doak, who's, by all accounts, looks like he's going to Liverpool or he's already left. So I was just wondering on Mark's opinion.
My opinion on
Carter Vickers, or I'm not talking about Carter Vickers or Jota. How are we going to go this year, Mark? Are we going to go back to the Asian market?
Well, I think it was a dodgy line there. I think it was the Asian market that John said there.
Oh, I think so. I think Ange Postecoglou knows that market. I don't think he's made any secret about that. I'm seeing speculation already about looking at players.
There was certainly, was it yesterday or the day before, talk about Ko Itakura, who's a centre-back, had been on loan at Schalke. I know he's not been playing in Japan of late. He's a Manchester City player, but Ange Postecoglou has those links with the City group as well. But a Japanese international, could, you know, he's found success with Japanese players so far. It's as if another one he's looking at.
Yeah, I don't think any Celtic fans would turn their nose up at that, seeing the success that the players have had so far. So Ange Postecoglou, with these connections, it makes it a whole lot easier to get these deals done. You know, that he knows the league himself, but you'd mention that, Andrew, that he's got these connections with the City group that makes deals go through quicker. But in terms of young players, Celtic have, you know, John was saying about young players there, but you look at Rowson's still young and he's played a huge part this season. Welsh been in the team, I know Doak's away now. So although Celtic have not had many Tierneys or McGregors through who have been absolute standouts, they're still slowly churning out a few.
Yeah, I think Dane Murray is pretty highly rated centre-back. Well, he played at the start of the season, but I think the problem for some of the younger players at Celtic is that Ange Postecoglou was successful in bringing in the players he wanted to bring in. So he had quite a big squad and quite a deep squad. So that, you know, limits the opportunities for some of these younger players.
Well, of course it does. And it happens at every big club. You always hear it. Young players come through in cycles. You know, there's a batch that will come through and then it'll maybe be a few years until you get that again. But big clubs like Celtic and Rangers, as long as they drip feed a few through every year, then it keeps the fans happy, because the fans love big signings, you know, big glamorous signings coming in and boosting the squad, but they also love the homegrown players, somebody that comes through, knows the club, and then eventually they get sold on, like Tierney, we were mentioning earlier.
John, is there any business in particular, ins or outs, that you'd like to see Celtic do this summer?
Apart from the two obvious ones, as in Cameron Carter-Vickers and Jota, I've seen it on one of the... Sorry, it was a bit of a bad line. I kind of lost you right at the start of the call. But this boy is at Katara or something like that. The boy who's coming through Man City. And
yeah, Ko Itakura was. We just touched on him shortly. Yeah, a centre-back.
He certainly looks like a player. And I don't have a problem as well. We've done it with the boy O'Reilly. We've gone in the lower leagues in England. Because I'm pretty sure there's a good few gems there as well. We don't have to necessarily, not that I have a problem at all with going down the Asian market, but what I like about Postecoglou is he gives guys a chance. And even right at the start of the season, the boys like Shaw, who ended up going to Motherwell, and the boy I think he went doing Regis side, or I can't even, I'm sorry, apologies if I pronounced his name wrong, but the guy, I think he went away to Sheffield Wednesday or the Cave for Sheffield Wednesday.
Osazi Origidi.
There you go. I'm glad you say that. But I like the fact that he gives guys a chance, whereas a lot of managers in the past, Lennon probably especially, brought these boys in, never gave them a chance, never played them, and we ended up losing them.
But you know what, with Ange Postecoglou, he had to give them a chance because he came in and it was sort of unknown. You know, you need to remember that other managers come in, they've got a wee bit of time really to... Or they've seen the league, they've been here before, they've got a close connection. Ange Postecoglou couldn't have came from a further away place, so he came in, he had a pre-season. Remember some of the pre-season games Celtic had? The one that sticks in my head is the one at home to West Ham, and I know they've got a lot of good players, but it was alarming. But Ange Postecoglou had to play these young guys like John Sain and the first-team players who had failed the season before.
I mean, there was guys that played in that team that are still at the club that just haven't had a look in that Ange Postecoglou is going to have to shift this summer. Barkas, guys like Ayeti, Soro. Celtic have a big squad and Ange Postecoglou is going to have a task in his hands to try and get those out to help move more bodies
in. I mean, he'll have to trim it. I mean, I'm guessing, you know, as a manager, he's already had that conversation with the players, but it's kind of out of his hands now. He's made his decision. He would have told the guys upstairs, these are the ones we want to move on. I've already had the conversation. I'm now going to concentrate on the players who I want to bring in. You deal with them. So it's very rarely a manager's problem. At that level, it's not a manager's problem when it gets to this stage. But you're right. It's a whole host of players, big name players on big wages, who who sat for a lot of the second half of the season in the stand, not even on the bench, in the stand watching, and Celtic must clear them out because they've not got an infinite amount of money. Even though they've got this Champions League money, they don't want to waste it on guys just sitting there doing nothing.
John was talking about whether it's the Japanese market or the lower leagues in England. Ange Postecoglou has managed to pick players from all round the world, really. Mm. And the majority of them have been a success. So you think Celtic fans will have a whole lot of confidence going into this window that whoever Ange Postecoglou brings in, even if it's names of guys that they've never heard of before, that they'll feel they'll be able to get it right just based on those two previous transfer windows.
He's got so much goodwill in the bank because recruitment is probably the hardest thing for a manager in football because it's really as a gamble. You know, you spend, you know, an extraordinary amount of money on players. We've seen it even in the Premier League in England. They come in, they're a flop, but you can find these gems. Ange Postecoglou, most of these signings, if not all of them, have been positive this season. Like, he's not going to get them all right. But I think, I mentioned, has to go to his recruitment staff as well. It's a bit naive to think that one man is doing all this. He's got the final say. He knows the Japanese market. Of course he does. But the English market, the lower leagues, the European market, he'll have a team
in place. I think Postecoglou had even said when Matt O'Reilly signed, you know, he was one that the club were already looking at that was flagged up to him. So there's obviously a balance there. Some of them are players that he knows. Some of them will be recommendations from managers he's worked with in the past, and others will be players that have previously been recruited by Celtic that they've been tracking for a while.
But that's the thing, and now he's got Mark Lawwell in as well to help him, a guy that knows the market very well. So if anything, you know, Celtic are in a much stronger position this window than they were in January, and that's got to excite, I think, the Celtic fans at this stage of the season.
Well, thank you to John. 01419511025 is the number you need. Ken is next up in Cambus Lang. Ken, what are you thinking tonight?
How's it going, Mark? Enjoy your holiday, mate. All right.
That was great, Ken. Aye, thanks for asking.
Well, first of all, I know Celtic are probably need to get maybe a centre back, a left back, and probably a striker. But financially, they wouldn't have any problems. The last time they were in the Champions League group stage, which I think was 10 years ago, their combined revenue that year, including the gate receipts, was £101 million. So it should exceed that this season. But the main point I was following up for was, I mean, it's good to hear about all this, about how Celtic Rangers might do in the Champions League in Europe. But also remember, this should be the first season, the first one I can remember, where because Hearts have got the group stages of Europa League, we should have at least three teams in Europe until Christmas, and hopefully three teams in it after Europe, which has got to be great in Scottish football.
Yeah, it's an exciting time, Mark, because it's strange to think about having a team outside of Celtic and Rangers in the group stages of European competition, but Hearts are guaranteed that.
Yeah.
And incredible. That's fantastic for them, not only just for profile, but financially as well.
Well, it is. I mean, UEFA's been criticised in the past for kind of watering down tournaments and adding teams as you go along. But for small countries like ours, with the budgets we've got, it's terrific for us. The excitement generated for the fans and even the neutrals in Scottish football to see Hearts and other clubs in Europe this year. I mean, Dundee United, we're all going to go away for a Dundee United away day. Me and Callum, there we are, my old baggy United top. You know, it's just... It is great because fans are used to just, especially if you're not a fan of Celtic Rangers, used to see their team struggling. If they get to the Cup final in May, it's a great achievement. If they get to a League Cup final, that's the pinnacle. But to take their team into Europe, something else.
A lot of people last summer were sceptical about the Europa Conference League coming in and there being a third tier of European competition. I was probably one of them as well. I wasn't really sure how it would go. You look at the final last night, Jose Mourinho and Roma winning it. You see how much it meant to Jose Mourinho, one of the most successful managers of the modern era of football.
Yeah.
It was basically in tears at winning that competition. It's not a diddy competition as some people were making out that it would be.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, it's going to take a wee bit of getting used to in the inaugural season. You know, I remember Brendan Rodgers said, I don't even know really what this competition is or where it leads to, but we have to go with it. Nonsense. Of course he knew what it was, and when it gets down to the latter stages and you see the quality that's in it, then every team wants to be there. And for our smaller teams in this country to have a chance of getting in amongst that and getting the revenue it comes with, it's terrific.
You're saying, Ken, that it's good for the whole of Scottish football having three teams in the group stages. For Celtic specifically, getting straight into the Champions League group stages, how exciting a prospect is that for you?
Oh, I mean, considering some of the teams that we could be playing, it's great to be
playing among some of the best teams in Europe. And those nights back at Celtic Park, I mean, that's what we want. As fans, that's what we want. We want to be playing against the best. We want these Champions League nights. So long may it continue.
There's so much that comes with Champions League football, Mark. Everyone talks about the financial aspect of it and whatever it's worth, 40 million getting into the group stages of the competition. But for supporters, it's about being able to turn up and see some of the best players in the world, turn up at your stadium, being able to go away to some of these matches, play against the likes of whether it's Barcelona, PSG, you know, AC Milan as well will be in it next season.
Yeah.
This is what fans dream of.
Well, of course it is. I mean, it's just the all-round package. When I was there, it was what I wanted to play in, you know, just for the everything that comes with it. I think for Celtic this year, the Celtic fans, there's a lot of intrigue how this team's going to play. They've watched Ange Postecoglou take this team from an absolute car wreck into a machine that looks capable of beating anyone on its day. Now, the European games were a flaw, but it was his first season. He was still getting things right. And come August or September, should I say, when these games kick off, that Celtic team will be in a much stronger position. I think the fans think this may be a really interesting Champions League group stage for them. But, of course, you get some of the big guns in there that can blow you away on any given day.
It was always a criticism of Brendan Rodgers that in the Champions League group stages he didn't change his style and they would concede sometimes, you know, 5-7 against the likes of Barcelona and PSG at times. Ange Postecoglou, I think, was asked about that in an interview he did with an Australian outlet and said, you know, will you park the bus against these teams? And I think his response was something along the lines of, I've never owned a bus. But Ange Postecoglou is really true to his style, and he'll feel that if he can get the right players playing a system, he wants to take that system and test it against the best teams.
Well, he does. I mean, even though he had major flaws in Europe, and I stood here on this show and I said, look, Celtic this season in Europe, they had chances to change it within games. He didn't. But he still gave teams a run for their money, especially away from home. It's about getting that better and getting more
solid. They were exciting games as well.
They were
4-3 away to Betis, 3-2 away to Leverkusen.
It was the Leverkusen game that I was critical after it, because they had the game in the palm of their hands and they didn't change. They brought on attacking subs and they threw it away. But you probably look at the back four at that stage and it wasn't as fine-tuned as it is at the minute. I think it'll be even better then, and I think that's what he'll be working on. Getting that back four better going forward, I don't think anything will change, and that's what makes it such an exciting prospect.
Well, thank you to Ken, 01419511025. Give us a call now and you could be up next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson here with me, Andrew McLean, on the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025 if you want to get in touch, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. That's what Tinky Boy has done. He's asking a question that I don't know the answer to, but it's something that annoyed me as well. He's saying, can I ask a quick question? Why was the Europa League final before the Conference League final? Just wondering. I thought it would have went in order of importance. Just a thought. I have no idea why it's the case, but for some reason it annoyed me as well.
You're looking at me for an answer?
Not even an answer. It just seems like a weird thing. You'd think it would just be Conference League final, Europa League final, then Champions League final.
Maybe where was the final last night again?
In a
tiny stadium somewhere.
Yeah,
I was going to say maybe to do with the heat in Spain, but that's pretty hot there as well.
Yeah, a week apart as well. I'm not sure it would have made too much difference.
Maybe somebody from UEFA will phone in. Callum, phone somebody from UEFA. Find that out.
I don't even think he's listening to us anymore. He's checked out. Anyway, 01419511025 on the phones. Bit of news as well. Dundee look to be closing in on the appointment of Sean Maloney as their new manager. Of course, he was sacked just over a month ago after a disappointing 4 months in charge at Hibs. So it'll be very interesting to see how that works out for him at Dundee.
You know what? I'm delighted for him. And I know ex-teammate of mine's good guy, but he is a good coach. And you just mentioned there, 4 months, you know, absolutely nothing in charge of a football club, and he loses his job. I thought it was a crazy decision at the time. If you're going to bring a manager, go to that length to bring a manager in, bring his staff in, change a few things behind the scenes to suit him, then you've got to give him time. You've got to give him to after the summer transfer window and let him do things properly. So it's sometimes hard when you get sacked to get back in, and I'm glad that Sean might have the opportunity to go into Dundee. I think, obviously, connections with Gordon Strachan there will work quite well. And fingers crossed he does well, because he's a good guy.
As you say, can be tough to get back in. You look at the guy he was competing with to get the job, Jack Ross. Who hasn't got back in since he left Hibs. A lot of people thought he was sort of unfairly dismissed by Hibs, and he's still struggled to get back in for whatever reason. But Sean Maloney will be delighted that, you know, what's that, just over a month after, that he's able to get back in there, because he'll feel he's got a point to prove.
Well, of course he will, because one thing about Sean is he's always believed in himself. Incredibly focused. I've said about him before, as a player he was one of the most committed players that I've ever played with, in terms of the work he did and put into it and analysing things as a player. I know as a coach he'll be the exact same way. So just to get that short space of time at Hibs and be dismissed, then I thought it was unfair. So he'll have the proper backing from Gordon Strachan. Gordon will give him the support he needs there at the club, and he's certainly got the know-how to turn that club around. And Jack Ross, well, I think it's Jack Ross's decision. I don't think Jack Ross will be short of offers, because he's a terrific coach as well. So I don't think it'll be long before we see him back, whether that's in Scotland, that's another matter.
I'm interested in the dynamic of going into that job, because there's maybe two ways to look at it, that they've just been relegated, but they've got a squad that has Premiership experience and you should be happy with where you are. Or is there a lot of pressure straight away, because a lot of supporters will be expecting, right, we need to go straight back up. Yeah. But we've seen it's not an easy league to get out of.
No, it's not. You could be trapped here for years. But my opinion of that Dundee side is that if it is Sean it goes in, I think he might tear that up and start from fresh. I thought that was a problem last year, that Premier League experience got brought in, but they were ageing. There was problems there. They were maybe the wrong type of characters in that group. And it clearly didn't work. And they had their problems throughout the season. I think Sean, the way he is, the character he is, he might have a look at that and think, I need to start a fresh year.
You'll think having that full summer will help, because it seemed to me a lot of the time when you watched Sean Maloney's Hibs that they were trying to play a style of football that just didn't suit the players that they had. So if he's got this first full summer transfer window to go in, try and pick the players that are suited to his style, it should make it more comfortable for him.
Well, yeah, picking the players, but Andrew, see, just even having the time on the training pitch to actually put your ideas into play, and even if you work at that three times a day, you know, it gets here. You've seen Ange Postecoglou when he had that summer and the full pre-season to get that style in. We clearly seen the style from the first few games of the season. To do it throughout a season is incredibly difficult, because you're just managing the players to the next game. You don't really get any time. You have to manage them physically in terms of getting them away from the training ground. Pre-season's different. So I'm sure Sean will relish the fact of getting in there, getting his choice of players, but having ample time on the training ground with him.
Well, let's go back to the phones. Ricky is a Celtic fan in Easterhouse. Ricky, what have you got for us?
Good evening, Andrew, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
No worries.
Do you remember I was on Mark and I asked you and Mr. DL would you change his mind, who would win the league? Mr. DL said with the Rangers, you couldn't change your mind, but you went. If you would, have you ever changed it to Celtic? Do you remember that call?
I'm going to say aye for the sake of this argument, to see where it goes.
Yeah. You're just saying yes because you know that you came out right in it all.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, Mark. You're a wee bit of foresight there that you came out right. So, what I was going to say was, I totally agree with what you were saying about Maloney, and I think maybe if he went to Postecoglou, maybe a couple of your young boys, because I think he played the same kind of style of football that Postecoglou would like. But on the transfer market for Celtic, I think we need another holding midfielder. I think where we'll go at, I think the cafe slows the game down. I watched them last year, slowing the game down. Sorrow, I think, is a bit rash at times. And I think we need, so I don't know if we'll get Rigucci, but I think we need somebody there and pushing Callum McGregor further forward, because I think that's where he is at his best. Pushing Callum forward and somebody in there just sweeping up at the back, picking it off and then giving it to the creative boys. What do you think?
Yep, couldn't agree more. I think it's a standout position for Celtic, because Callum McGregor has to carry the can in that position so often. And Ricky's right, when he steps forward, it brings so much going forward. So you think, you wonder if, you know, Celtic could do with somebody else in there. Now, James McCarthy at the time, I thought it was a good signing. I said last year, good signing, experience, just not worked out, you know. It just hasn't. Sorrow fell by the wayside. I expect him probably to be moving on in the summer. So Hatate, I suppose, could play that position, but
Yosuke Adeguchi is an interesting one, because Ange Postecoglou said towards the end of the season that he was unlucky that he hadn't had as much game time. But would you think that if he was at the level that he should be starting every week, that he just would have had the game time?
Well, who knows the answer to that, because we only saw a brief glimpse of him. I'm sure that Ange Postecoglou could have played him a few more minutes at the end, if he really meant that. I think he will have a future there. But I just think, like Ricky's saying, if you can bring someone in that can take the weight a bit off McGregor's shoulders in that position, slightly different, maybe a bit bigger physically. I always remember Victor Wanyama coming in, you know, giant boy, young at the time, bit rash, but he could play. If Celtic could find someone like that, especially for the European nights, I think that's where it's so critical.
Ricky, are there any other positions that you'd look to strengthen?
Well, I know he's looking at strikers, Moroccan boy. I know he's looking at him. I know we're looking at, obviously, a left-back to Hammond. But whatever Ange has brought out, he's had the mightiest touch. And I can't see that faltering for a wee while yet. You know, I just think the guy knows what he wants. He's a manager, and he works with tunnel vision. That's what I want, and that's what I'm going to get. You know, and I think he pursues the player. And I think the way he maybe talks to the player, that these players are just under his spell. I want to come and play for you. Because these guys that brought in have been phenomenal. You know, there's no been a bad player amongst them. So I put my hands in the Ange's. He can do what he wants, and he'll come good.
I think many Celtic fans will feel the same. And you think the Celtic board as well will feel, you know, looking at the last two transfer windows, that they're able to back this guy in the transfer windows.
Well, his hand's incredibly strong wherever he goes to the board. I mean, how often have we heard throughout the years of managers, you hear it after they leave, trying to sign players, they've had a wee gripe saying, well, I wanted to sign them, went to the board, that didn't happen, you know, didn't quite get across the line. And McGinn's a big one, John McGinn, everybody still remembers. Ange Postecoglou has got such a strong case now for all the players he's brought in that he could maybe mention anybody and get them in the building. And you've got to take your hat off to the Celtic. You cut me off there, Andrew. I was mid speech. I was just bored.
I was just thought, you know what, I'll.
All right, okay, I'll continue. But I mean, the players he brought in have been that much a success that people think this guy can do no wrong. But everybody's got to be realistic. He's never going to get them all right. There'll be signings next season, I'm sure, won't quite work out. But as long as he gets one or two right in key positions, then the fans will forget about the poorer ones. So it'll be interesting, and interesting to see how much money he's got to spend. That's the thing, you know, because he's done things in a fairly basic, well, not basic budget, but it's not tens of millions going out. But this time he's got a wee bit of money, so interesting to see who he brings in.
Well, thank you to Ricky, and thank you for all your calls and tweets tonight. I'll be back tomorrow night. Hugh Keevans will be in the studio with me. Plenty more transfer talk, and of course, a huge, huge Scotland game coming up next Wednesday, and hopefully an even bigger one on Sunday against Wales in Cardiff. And make sure to stick around tonight, because Callum Gallagher is up next.